From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, and featuring the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life, Patrick Ahrensberg. And now, your host, Patrick Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to The Archbishop Show. I'm Patrick Ahrensberg, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life. Hello, Archbishop.
Pat, always good to be with you, and we have a special guest today.
Archbishop, I'm not sure we've had, certainly not lately, an executive director in studio with us, but we do today.
I mean, we have hit the big time.
Big time.
Hey, you don't often get as classy as this.
So to find out which executive director it is, you're going to have to come back after we say an opening prayer. Archbishop, would you lead us in a prayer, please?
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, our Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, who has won on the cross for us forgiveness of sins. Help us to open our hearts to your abundant life that calls us to repent and to believe in the gospel. Be with us today that our lives may give you honor and glory as we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, Archbishop, we're being joined by Ellen Taylor, the Executive Director of Archangel Communications. And Ellen, welcome to the Archbishop Show.
Thanks. Nice to get down to your studio here.
Yeah, it's good to have you here.
It's so good to have you. You know, Archangel does so many great things. We're so grateful, and we're glad to have you here as part of our program.
Great. I'm looking forward to it.
So, Archbishop, we're recording this. It's Lent. You know, sometimes we have replays later, but we're during Lent, and kind of people focus on repentance and turning more wholeheartedly to Christ. And as Catholics, that involves going to confession, going to be reconciled. And I guess the question is why? Why do we as Catholics have to go to a priest, and so many others, many other denominations, that's not part of their tradition? How did that happen?
You know, that's a question that will repeatedly come up when discussing the sacrament of confession, or the sacrament of penance, or the sacrament of reconciliation. Those are three different words for the same sacrament. Different people call it different things. But why do we confess to another human being? Why do we confess to a priest? And with each of the sacraments, and there are seven sacraments, and what is a sacrament? A sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ, something that Christ did that his followers, that the apostles saw, and that Jesus did in order to bring the life of God more and more into our hearts. And one of those sacraments is confession. The apostles saw Jesus forgive sins. And when Jesus forgave sins, you know, one of the criticisms that people threw at Jesus was that only God can forgive sins. Where do you get the authority to forgive sins? And, you know, sometimes, for example, he says to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. And his critics say, how is it possible for you to forgive sins? And Jesus says, so that you may believe that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins. He says, get up and walk. And the paralytic gets up and walks. It walks, you know, and Jesus said, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? If I have the authority to do this healing, I have the authority to forgive sins. And the apostles saw this, and the apostles knew that the forgiveness of sins was not just something that Jesus wanted for the amount of time that he walked the face of the earth. He meant it to be passed on, and the apostles passed that on, because they knew Jesus wanted it, and they knew Jesus had authorized them to forgive sins. But the authority that the Father had given to the Son gave to them.
And I guess that's the question, is where did that happen? I mean, because it just, Jesus, who said you had the authority to do this? You know, who are you to forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. And that's really the question I've heard from Protestant friends. Like, who are you, Catholics, to think that you have the authority to forgive sins? The authority to forgive sins belongs to God.
Well, then we go to the Word of God. And specifically, let's go to the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. And this is when Jesus has risen from the dead. This is that first Easter. And it's that evening of that day that Jesus has risen from the dead, evening of that first Easter. And the Gospel of John records, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained."
So it's kind of hard to be more clear than that. I mean, yes, only Jesus, only God has the authority to forgive sins. But if he has that authority, he has a right to share it if he wishes. You've given me an authority to teach in the diocese. I can, with that authority, have people teach on behalf of my office. Because I've received an authority, I can share that authority. Clearly, Jesus is sharing that authority.
I also think the Jewish people at that time probably had a good understanding of the concept of forgiving sins. I mean, you look today, Yom Kippur, and so it's very much was in their tradition of recognizing that we're sinful people and we need to have our sins forgiven. So I think it was a concept they could understand, and then just Jesus, as with everything, brought it to the fulfillment of his message. So I think that it's just a beautiful understanding, too, from the old and the new.
I guess the question I have for either one or both of you is why? I mean, why did Jesus do this? He just made it a little harder. I no longer is the dynamic that I just go to my room and say I'm sorry for a very serious sin. That really what I'm supposed to do is go and confess to a priest. So why did Jesus do this to us?
There's many reasons, and we have another 20 minutes to go through a few of them. But by saying you are to confess your sins to another human being, Jesus is saying sin is never just between me and you, just between God and you. It is also communal. Sin not only disrupts our relationship with God, it disrupts our relationship with our fellow human beings. And to confess to another human being makes it so clear that confession is not just between me and God. My sins affect other people. The sins of each one of us affects other people. And it's obvious when Jesus says to the apostles, "Whose sins you retain or retain, whose sins you forgive or forgiven," the only way that the apostles could make that judgment of which sins to retain, which sins to forgive, is if someone spoke their sins to them. You know, Jesus was not giving them the authority, the power to be mind readers or to peer into people's hearts. He was given the authority to allow people to speak their sins and to forgive them.
You know, I think had Jesus given one power, like if he just said to the apostles, "Go and your mission is the forgiveness of sins, period," that wouldn't involve confession. Go baptize people, go do whatever for the forgiveness of sins, but he doesn't do that. Either forgive or retain. Now, either the disciples can flip a coin, the apostles can flip a coin to decide which power, or they have some more logical, more spiritual way to understand what the sin is and is forgiveness coming.
You know, in many ways, I think, too, that this speaking with each other and confessing sins to a priest really breaks down our humanity, because it shouldn't be something super comfortable, right? It really is this looking inside yourself and staring kind of at your sin and bringing it forward. And so I think by doing sometimes those things that are possibly uncomfortable, it just, we recognize, and God saw it in us, our humanity, to break out and be vulnerable to each other by recognizing that that was sinful, what I did.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Pat Ahrensberg here visiting with the Archbishop, and we have Ellen Taylor from Archangel Radio in studio. You know, Archbishop, you talked about sin is not just between me and God. It's between me and other people. When I'm throwing a hissy fit somewhere, or if I'm, you know, being irresponsible with finances, that affects people around me. The way the church celebrates the sacrament of confession, especially in the early years of the church, really poignantly pointed to this.
It made it so clear that sin was communal. The sacraments don't change in regard to their matter, what's necessary for a sacrament. For example, the sacrament of baptism, what is necessary is water in the Trinitarian formula. The water in the, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That doesn't change. Now, how we may celebrate baptism may change, but that form doesn't change. The same thing with confession. The matter of it has not changed, that it is the confession of sins and the absolution. But the way we do it has changed through the years. In the early church, confession was done at Mass in front of the whole congregation. The penitent would stand in front of everyone, confess their sins in order to receive the absolution. Well, the church, always being a good mother, knew that that was very, very difficult to do. And so eventually, what came about in the church was that instead of publicly confessing sins to the whole congregation, the whole assembly, instead one person would represent all the people. And of course, that person was the priest who could give the absolution for sins. But that early church made it so clear that, no, it's not just we're asking God's forgiveness, we are asking the community's forgiveness. And that has carried over throughout the life of the church, that is important to confess to the priest, another human being, another sinner, that I have sinned against God and against God's people.
It's interesting that you say that the church in its wisdom realized that maybe that wasn't the best for everybody in the congregation, and there is a way to have forgiveness of sins without the public spectacle of element of it, I gather.
You know, and at the same time, though, I think there are elements of going to confession that are direct remedies for our sin. So, you know, you alluded to it, I think, before the first break, Ellen, the sense of how difficult it is, or how difficult it can be to go in and state your sins out loud. Well, that's kind of therapeutic if you think about it. It's very easy. It's very easy, I think, for humans to rationalize their behavior away, to excuse their behavior. When I have to go confess it to a priest, the rationalizations, they sort of, when you're standing in line for confession and you're thinking about the things you have to confess, oh, those rationalizations, they kind of don't work anymore. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
And you just, you feel a little bit more spiritually open to the forgiveness of Jesus. And I think that's part of the point. I think our enemy wants to burden us with those sins. He doesn't want us to open up and let Jesus take those sins. He wants us to curl up and hold on to them, and remain united with our sin. He wants to set us free.
We are so reluctant at times to confess our sins. Why? God already knows them.
I know.
We aren't telling God something he doesn't know. He already knows this. He is not having us confess our sins so that he may have a reason to condemn us. Rather, he's asking us to confess so that we may experience the power of his healing grace. And it's the devil who puts the fear into us. Fear does not come from God. Fear of the Lord may come from God. That's something that it's not really about being scared. Well, that's a whole nother story. But to be scared, maybe that's another word to use, to be scared comes from the devil, not from God.
Well, there's something freeing about swinging open that confessional door after you're done and emerging out.
It's a different world
it's
on the
like,
way out.
I did it. Because beforehand, you're standing in that line and your palms are sweating and you're thinking it's going. The line's going too fast. It's going too slow. It's funny. That's our human emotions that we stand in there. But there is nothing like opening that confession door.
And you know, I know mm-hmm. people say, well, I'm scared of what the priest is going to say. Or I've heard priests yelling at people, whatever. I got to tell you, I've been going to confession now for almost 70 years. I've never had a priest yell at me.
Neither have I.
And I wasn't an archbishop through all those years, you know. I can tell you as a priest how what I think when someone comes to confessional is that I'm impressed that here is someone who is trying to turn away from their sins and turn back to God to be the person that God calls them to be. I look upon a penitent as a fellow sinner on this journey of life, this journey of faith, and I think the vast majority of priests feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know where the title comes from. We would refer to Jesus as the divine physician, mm-hmm. that he's here to heal, and the sacrament of reconciliation is here to heal.
Would come from when Jesus says, it is not the healthy that mm-hmm. need the physician, it's the sick. All right? Mm-hmm.
And so when we go to a doctor, you know, I'm fully aware that if I want him to heal it, you know, whether it's headaches or a pain in my shoulder, I have to reveal that to him. I have to, if you will, confess that to the doctor and say, I have these headaches. I have this pain in my shoulder. I have that. Because if I don't, he can't heal it. And the fear of raising that to the doctor is really irrational, because I'm there specifically to see the doctor so that he can heal me of these things.
And that is the power of God working in the sacrament, that he can heal us of our sins. You know, and it's for us to accept that. Sometimes I have heard people say, well, I had these terrible sins. I went to confession, and the priest gave me a very sharp penance. Why didn't he give me something difficult to do for a penance? Because at the end of confession, the priest gives a penance, gives a person an expression of thank you, God, of contrition to say before God. But it's usually something very brief. And, well, people say, but no, I should have had something difficult. No, good people, this is the exact point of confession. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's a gift. And giving us a difficult penance would be almost like saying, well, if you do something difficult, somehow you've earned the forgiveness. No, the priest usually is going to give a very easy penance, and I shouldn't say easy, but a very short penance, because it's not about earning the forgiveness. It's a gift. Receive it. And then be willing to forgive oneself. You know, if we are forgiven, then accept the gift. Don't say, I'm not worthy. Hey, when I was a kid on Christmas morning, I ran to the tree to see what present was there for me. All right? And when I saw the present, I didn't say to my parents, oh, no, I don't deserve this. Oh, no. I took the present and ran. And I probably didn't even say thank you to my parents. All right? God, our Father, is giving us a present. And it's not like, well, I have to do something to earn it. Oh, no, we will never earn the present from our Father. It's a gift.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Pat Ahrensberg, along with Ellen Taylor from Archangel Radio and Archbishop, talking about confession and the gracious gift of love that Jesus gives us. And I found, Archbishop, the opening passage from John 20, John chapter 20 really sets the stage. When Jesus appears, these guys are hiding and they're afraid.
The doors are locked.
Mm-hmm. The doors are locked, and they probably feel a little bit like I feel in the confession line. And Jesus' first word when he appears
to them. And by the way, locked, I would say the gospel says because they were scared. But, you know, I sort of figure also they're embarrassed. They all, except for one, they all ran from the when their teacher, their rabbi, was being crucified. They ran away, you know. So there had to be a tremendous amount of shame among them mm-hmm. too. Uh-huh. But
interesting, mm-hmm. his word to them, the reason he's there, peace be with you. And then it's really interesting. The next thing he does is he shows them his wounds. And it's just the, do you see how much I love you? And it's precisely because of his wounds. And then he says it again, peace be with you. So he ties this together that it's about setting us free. It's about putting us at ease. It's about forgiving us. And the wounds are how he paid that price.
And then, Pat, what does he say to the apostles? As
the Father has sent me,
thank you,
so now I send you.
And what did the Father send the Son to do?
To reconcile the world to his Father through the forgiveness of sins.
To win forgiveness of sins. So Jesus says to the apostles, as the Father has sent me to bring about forgiveness of sins, so now I send you to forgive sins. And he breathes on them that powerful image of the breath of God. You know, and going back to the book of Genesis, mm-hmm. that the very dawn of creation, the Spirit breathed upon the waters, creating the universe. The breath of God, recreating them.
I also feel, Archbishop, that breath of God and receiving the Holy Spirit, how much that infused them and empowered them. You were speaking a few minutes ago about how they were scared, they were behind locked doors, they probably felt ashamed that they had run off. And then that breath of God comes through and just down to their molecular level infuses them. And they are filled to be able to have such grace and understanding to go forth on this mission, the Great Commission, to go out and spread the word as Jesus wanted them to, because they never would have had that ability going from a group of them locked in the room to spreading mm-hmm. the message to the ends of the earth.
And it always comes with the mission.
Yeah.
So it's not just, I'm not just coming and breathing on you. I'm giving you this mission. But the breathing, Archbishop, I don't know, I'm an apologetics guy. I taught it for a long time. It's what I've been in conversations with non-Catholics who minimize this passage and that it's not really Jesus giving them this power. And I'm thinking, imagine being in a room and the person speaking to you comes around and starts breathing on you. That's weird. That's something very different. That's very, and I can only think of Genesis and this case and maybe another time in the Bible that God breathes on humanity. And each time it is a really significant moment. He turns clay into a human being.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And he turns men.
That's another time that mm-hmm. that the breath of God brought clay to life. Yeah. He's bringing them new life, turning away from sin. So, you know, I would hope, and I know we're coming to the end of our time, but I hope that nothing would hold anyone back from the grace of the sacrament of confession. It is spiritually healthy. It is psychologically healthy. You know, psychologists will tell us what a great blessing, whether they're Catholic or not. You know, I've heard non-Catholic psychologists speak very highly of confession because we have a human need to forgive, to repent. We have it in our heart. We call it, well, I have to get something off my chest. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell the kids in grade school sometime about confession. I said, when I was a little boy and in our house, I could play in any room in the house except the living room. And because there, my mother had her favorite lamp. And so we couldn't play in that room. So guess which room I played in? And I broke the lamp.
Oh, no.
So I took the pieces of the lamp and I hid it in the closet. I was a little kid, as if that was going to, you know.
Right.
But, well, the rest of the day, I can remember feeling terrible that pieces of the lamp, my mom's favorite lamp, were there in the closet. I finally had to go to my mom and said, I broke the lamp. And the kids, when I tell them this, they said, well, did you get punished? And I tell them honestly, I don't remember. What I do remember is how good I felt that I'd got it off my chest. Mm-hmm. I was talking with a man who was not a Catholic and became a Catholic, and he said he thought he would have problems going to confession. He said, the first time I went to confession, he said, I had always been taught that God forgives us. But this was the first time I had a one-on-one conversation in which I was told God forgives you, that God forgives me, not just God forgives all of us, not some theoretical thing. I am forgiven, and we need to hear that voice, that word of God spoken to us, that you are forgiven.
I'm so grateful for the, and I think, Archbishop, to say I feel sorry for you would not be respectful, so I won't put it that way. But I think as a priest, I would imagine becoming a bishop, you don't get to hear confessions much. There are a lot of limitations to what you can do, and I imagine it's one of the things you really miss.
And I do, because there's very powerful moments in the confessional. People have been away for a long time, and I just say, welcome home.
Archbishop, could we have your blessing?
May the blessing of God be upon you and your loved ones. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Until next time.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, as well as Pat Ahrensberg, the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio.